And tonight, of course, our Mayan Extravaganza 2012. Up next, Lynn Marzulli joins us. LA, of course, Watchers and several books out there, including the Nephilim Trilogy and the Alien Interviews. LA's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. LA Marzulli up next, of course. LA has teamed up with film producer Richard Shaw as they created the Watchers series that we've talked with LA so much about on this program. L.A., got to ask you first, your take on today. L.A. Marzulli, there he is.
I've been saying this, sort of beating the drum from my little corner of the world, since the Cosmic Chess book, Cosmic Chess Match book came out right at the end of 2011. Basically, I believe, and I'll just read you one line, however, I believe that 2012 has served its purpose already, and that is to call people's attention from what is really going on. In that respect, it's accomplished its task because millions are waiting to see what will happen. Meanwhile, real biblical prophecy is beginning to manifest all around us. I've been saying that. I've said it on your show before, and here we are, December 21st, and more people know about the so-called Mayan calendar and the end of the world, and what it did is it steered the conversation. It pointed everyone to this event. Meanwhile, real prophecy written thousands of years ago is unraveling and actually beginning to manifest, in my opinion, over in the Middle East. I'll just give you one example.
Okay.
There's one prophecy which is very interesting. It's from Isaiah 17. For those of us who travel in this, we've looked at this prophecy and have wondered, how is this prophecy going to be fulfilled? And basically, it says Damascus will become a ruinous heap. Well, that's interesting. Damascus is the longest a populated city. It's never been destroyed. It's never been a ruinous heap, ever. What we see now with the Arab Spring and the revolution happening in Syria and Bashar al-Assad, the government holding, they're firing scuds today at it's just crazy what's going on over there. I've seen pictures. While Damascus is not destroyed yet, what's happening, what may be happening, is a fulfillment of that prophecy. It's not some great big cataclysm. It's brick by brick, street by street, and the city is then reduced to a pile of rubble. And that's what we're seeing. That's just one prophecy that I've kept my eye on. Meanwhile, the Ezekiel 38 prophecy seems to be looming. So while everyone's kind of watching this red herring over, you know, in down in Chichen Itza and the world of the Maya, in my opinion, what's really the place to really watch if you want to see what's going on is what's happening in the Middle East, specifically around the nation of Israel.
Now, the Mayans, of course, nobody really ever knows or knew what they were going to do or what they were up with. It was all speculation. You know, there have been jokes, of course. They simply ran out of calendar space and everything else. And there was a little cartoon that was hilarious where the calendar maker said, oh, my gosh, I'm out of material. I can't continue anymore. And, you know, his boss basically said, oh, boy, the future's going to read into this, aren't they? And it was so true. I have talked about L.A. that we're still going through solar events, that I believe the Mayans were experts on astronomy, and that the sun one day could be the thing that does us in. I'm not going to backtrack on that. What do you think of that?
Well, look, I think that CMEs are certainly something to be concerned about. This also ties in with the Book of Revelation, which talks about the sun heating up and getting larger and heating up and men trying to hide from the sun. This is all in the Book of Revelation. So that's a future event. It hasn't happened yet. My co-producer and good friend Richard Shaw wrote a paper specifically on crop circles. And I know this is going to sound like I'm taking a left turn here, but it really isn't. There was a crop circle in 2008 in Avebury in England. And it talks about this whole, you know, Nibiru coming in and the 2012. And people look at this. And what's interesting about this, this goes back to what we, last time I was on the show a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, we talked about the idea that these entities, whatever they are, seem to have a proclivity to lie or to at least fudge the truth. And, you know, messengers of deception, Jacques Vallée, same thing. They seem to be messengers of deception. This crop circle, which got tons of legs, Marshall Masters really got into this thing with his book Crossing the Cusp and talked about it. And everyone looked at this, a lot of people look at this and said, well, this must be a sign. They must be telling you, tell us what's going on. This got legs. What I'm trying to say is it's all kind of interconnected. It's like it's all dovetailed together. I believe that the Mayans received, now get this, I believe that the Mayans received their astronomical calculations, the calendar. They just didn't come out of a jungle with this stuff. They
right.
they got it somewhere. And I believe it was the sky gods that came down.
Mm-hmm.
But these sky gods are not extraterrestrial. They're interdimensional, which is what Jacques Vallée says. And dare I call them fallen angels, because that's what I think they are. And you remember, this is a culture that engaged in at least 50,000 human ritualistic blood sacrifices. And that's usually swept under the rug. People don't want to talk about that. But that's what was going on. And I read Hunbet's men's book. With all due respect to him, he seems like a wonderful fellow, but he's engaged in what I would call Kundalini serpent meditation and also ritualistic sex magic. He talks about that in his book. All these things are basically techniques, occult techniques, to open a person up to the second heaven. Guess who's there? That's that's where the fallen angels are.
That's right. That's
and that's
right.
where this technology is from, in my opinion.
LA, we're taking a few calls here with Coast to Coast listeners. Keith in San Mateo, California, west of the Rockies. Keith, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to share some thoughts regarding the whole December 21, 2012 thing. But I think it's important that, you know, people in the so-called metaphysical arena or spiritual or New Age arena tend to look at the mainstream, whether it's politics or media, and say, well, they all have, whether it's a politician or author or whatever, say they are operating out of self-interest and don't do the truth. And I think it's important to at least consider that people in the New Age arena do the same thing and probably to the same percentage. You know, I'm as spiritual and metaphysical and Om Shanti Om as you can get. But, you know, I've noticed a trend with this 2012 things where big authors, big names 10 years ago were making all these outrageous claims, and then as 2000, you know, as the date neared, they were getting really silent, and then they were kind of backpedaling. You know, it goes from, well, people will disappear, we're going to see people disappear, to, well, people are going to disappear, but it's going to happen maybe not immediately.
Right.
It might, and then people keep changing. So I think whether the big names and the fans do it, maybe perhaps unconsciously, people in the metaphysical realm are not immune to writing based on their self-interest, even if they really believe it, and fudging evidence that when you look at it, appears to be, my God, how could anyone argue with this? Look at Nibiru, Planet X. I mean, the crop circles. I mean, my God, you can't get any more clear than this.
Well, what's interesting is I got an email from an individual today, LA, and then we're going to let you go here. Thanks for being on.
Well, my pleasure.
Who simply said he felt foolish that he told all his friends for years that on this date, this is it. And he said, George, it didn't happen. I'm ticked at everybody. Where do you go from there?
Well, I mean, look, I called this a priori well over a year and a half ago. And all I can tell you is that, in my opinion, there is real prophecy. And the problem with stuff like this, it gets people all hyped up. So now if you tell them about real prophecy, they're like, I fell for that Mayan stuff. It's all a bunch of hooey. And so the counterfeit, just like that guy, what was it, this year? Remember, I was on the show, I think May something,
mm-hmm.
who was trying to tell everybody about the rapture, and I got on the day before and said, there's not going to be any rapture. This guy is a kook. And he is, and nothing happened. It's the same thing. The problem is all these false red herrings create sort of it muckies up the water, it obfuscates the real truth and real prophecy from being fulfilled. Want to know what's going on? Sit down and read Ezekiel 38. Look at the nations that are listed, and look at Russia has just done this past week by sending Iskander missiles to Syria.
That's
you can't make this stuff up.
It's right there. L.A., thank you. Appreciate you coming on the program. Of course, he was saved by the light. Danyon Brinkley with us. Danyon, your take. You've looked at this for some time.
Hi, George. I just liked L.A. That was a really great discourse. And I saw your Diane show with John, and it was terrific.
Thank you, sir.
You not only have a great voice, you're also handsome. But here's my take on this. And I've been studying the Maya for 42 years. I've been studying the Maya longer than I've been dead. What is remarkable about this period now is that these people in the middle of the jungle in the Yucatan in Central America knew more about astrophysics than we knew.
That's right.
They knew more about where planets aligned and the rotation that they could take in 3114 and do a calendar that would end today at the exact moment that our sun aligns to the galactic equinox, which is a 25,920-year journey. That in itself, George, is remarkable. Not only is that remarkable, that they can determine periods based on 5,125.36-year periods with such astronomical specificity that we don't even get it today. The Maya discovered Neptune. We discovered Neptune in 1844. The Mayans discovered it in 2240 BC. What we're witnessing is an absolutely remarkable group of people, and I was thinking like L.A., where did they get this knowledge? But when L.A. said there was 50,000 ritual systems, you have to look at the three periods of the Maya. You have the pre-classic, which is the part I most look at. Then you have classic and post-classic. Post-classic became the Toltecs and the Aztec invasion. That was the classic period. And the post-classic period, they just became traders. They were a hodgepodge of every kind of religion. Teotihuacan was the center of all of that. But in the pre-classic Mayan period, what we have a chance to look at, not doomsdayers, but what we have a chance to look at is a historical point more advanced, a group of people who could plot each day in five cycles of events. They believe things happen in cycles. They say that this first period, where we are in the next 52 years, begins the 5,125-year cycle in compassion and in love and in hope. And if L.A.'s right and Ezekiel's right, then what we better be doing is pay attention to two things.
I think. Go ahead.
The Maya said this, that we would move from the galactic period. In 2012, the galactic period will have passed, and in the galactic period, all things not done in integrity would have collapsed. Our religions, our institutions, our governments, they have collapsed. So they were right there. And we would move into the universal period where there would be no secrets and there would be, quote, nothing left unknown. So when you look at where we are today with computers, with internet, with Echelon, with the new NDAA, all the things that we are connected, there are no secrets. Cell phones, everything is recorded, everything is data mined. To where, once again, this new period that we head into, as they call the universal period, is accurate. Me, it's just utter amazing that I get a chance to live at a juncture and a point so pinpointed in our galactic universal consciousness, and then to stop and look at five cycles per day, five different levels of evolutionary consciousness per day that they live their life by. I think it's incredible to be alive today. I think it's incredible to have the privilege to have experienced what today was and to look back through my life and to realize I have studied the Maya longer than I've studied death. I stumbled on the Maya, but I discovered death by talking on the phone. And I'm excited about it, George.
Me too.
And I'm excited because your show on Gaia started today.
Let's go to Sean in Monroe, Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, George. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
Of
it's
course.
A great show. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've got about 20 years invested in this particular day. It was 1992 and Terrence McKenna that first enlightened me onto this. But, you know, it's we've all metabolized this. It's been, you know, apparent to me that the things we've achieved on the way here in the last couple of days, in the last couple of months, shouldn't be forgotten. You know, we're in a society where we the fireworks are some sort of encore, and, you know, the Maya never promised that. And, you know, what we should be focusing on is that where we should be headed is where we've already come from. You know, that our relationship with the earth, and just before you took my call, I went outside and was looking at Orion, and a shooting star came along.
Gorgeous.
And I thought, how much of my life have I even looked up? My roof, it keeps me from looking up. I have to go outside to intentionally look up. What have I missed for as many years as I've been on this earth? And, you know, Terrence McKenna, even though there's, you know, plenty of things that shouldn't be worshipped or looked upon with a, you know, extremely high regard, Terrence did teach me one thing with the book Archaic Revival. Back is forward. And the Maya certainly have taught us one thing, and that's that the simplistic life that they had, looking at the stars, measuring the world on a daily basis, is where we should be headed. That this complicated world, this complex world that we have willingly joined in every day, is certainly not going to be the one that's going to take us into the stars.
No, you're right about that, Sean, and it's this kind of attitude we need. Danyon, you know, I still see people so strangely whacked out these days. They need to take a lesson from the Maya, don't they?
Absolutely. And, George, they need to listen to the guy who is a coast-to-coast listener, the person who was just talking. The Maya looked up. Their simplistic ways was the most complex social structure of believing in cycles and trends and running and maneuvering your life based on those cycles and trends, which allowed them, I believe, like L.A. said, it allowed them to enter in dimensional consciousness. You can see these guys who are not on ayahuasca doing all this stuff, George. When you go down there, I've been 35 trips to every one of these sites, every place they would let me go, and look at these people in that the hidden knowledge, the knowledge that they have. We live in a very cosmic time, and we live in rekindling and reawakening history that I believe is going to affect what Barbara Marks Hubbard is doing. I believe it's going to have a perpetual effect. You know, and I was laughing, George, when you were telling the calendar joke. Can't you imagine all those preppers that's in those silos that paid $1 million for 900 square feet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't you wait for somebody to tap on the seat? And I hope they don't have coast-to-coast, because then they'll come out. They need to stay in there a couple of years. But
wonder what they'll see when they come out. Danyon, we're out of time, but look, you have a great Christmas, all right?
Merry Christmas to you and everybody who listens to Coast, and congratulations on Guyam, and give Tom a kiss for me.
No. You can do that on your own. Up next, Dr. Bruce Goldberg joins us, the numbers lady, Glynis McCants, as we continue talking about the Mayan calendar ending. Well, I told you we'd be here Saturday and Sunday and back for our Christmas Eve program on Monday and so on and so forth. Not to worry. Up next, Dr. Bruce Goldberg joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And one of my guests on an upcoming TV program will be Dr. Bruce Goldberg, who we taped several weeks ago. He did an incredible past life regression with an audience member. It was an incredible story, Bruce. Welcome. How are you?
Well, fine, George. I appreciate your reincarnation on your show again, and I want to wish, obviously, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever, to everyone out there, you and Tom.
Thank you.
Sean and Lex, of course, and everyone else. The Mayan calendar ending today is significant. You know, for the past 3 years, I've been talking about this with my classic joke, is that the only reason the calendar ends is because the Mayans ran out of rock.
That's yeah. right. That could be right.
And the reason I do that is because it isn't just blind positive. You know, I'm Dr. Positive here, but I have done progressions. I developed the field of taking my patients into a future of this life as well as future lives. And way back in 1999, I took people beyond the year 2000. So therefore, when I did the interviews with Art in those days about, I said, there's going to be no Y2K. In fact, I said, I'm the only guest that's absolutely 120% going to make it Y2OK. Now, people give me credit for that, but in reality, it was my patients. Over and over again, people have given me the positive results that nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did the same thing several years ago regarding the December 21st, 2012. And what my patients were telling me is that it's just another day. People get ready for Christmas or the holidays, and the 2013 year begins. So this is the logic of it. But in reality, when you're dealing with the end of the calendar, what happens is that it's one-fifth of the precession of the equinox. So tomorrow marks another phase, just like you have a calendar, like we go into another year from December 31st to January 1st. What's also interesting, in the Mayan literature, which is kind of funny, this doesn't get much attention, there is a one of the most famous Mayan rulers. His name was Pakal, and he was a ruler of what's called the Palenque province of the Mayan civilization.
Lord Pakal, right?
That's right, right? Yeah. And he, and in the writings, it says he will reincarnate on October 15th, 4772 AD. Now, does that sound like these people are thinking the end of the world is coming?
Nope, not at all.
Now, what's interesting is, you know, the Mayan civilization is considered to be Mesoamerican. So you have scholars that are Mesoamerican scholars. And I want to quote one to show you the ridiculousness of all the fears that have been going on for several years. This is a woman named Sandra Noble. She's the executive director of the Foundation for the Advancement of Mesoamerican Studies. Okay, and this is her quote. There is nothing in ancient Maya records that predict the end of the world. No apocalypse, no destruction, no cosmic clashes, nothing, unquote. So you see, Mesoamerican scholars know that. David Stewart, another one, he's been on internet with a lot of his blogs about the same thing. He's another scholar. There's nothing about that. So people are panicking for nothing. And, you know, my positive outlook is always the idea that, you know, trust in your higher self, trust in the universe, we're here for a reason. You know, in 1666, many Europeans thought the world was going to end because of the three sixes involved in the date of that year.
That's right.
And
yeah.
also the Great Fire of London and a plague that occurred in London during that year. And, of course, London was one of the most major cities in the in civilization in the 17th century. Well, nothing happened. Even Sir Isaac Newton predicted the end of the world by the year 2000. He said in the year 2000, the world would end.
Do you think, Bruce, the thoughts of the apocalypse might be the same, that every civilization thought that they were in end times, and maybe it will never happen?
Well, don't forget, you have to deal with religion, too. You know, you're dealing with biblical statements. There's no religion that says, that I know of, especially the Old and New Testament, that says that the world's going to end on a certain date. You can forget that. That just doesn't happen. Now, people can read in whatever they want to, but there are no dates involved. In the year 999, a lot of Europeans were committing suicides because they didn't want to see the end of the world.
Good point.
Because they thought it was going to be 1,000 AD. Well, who died and made them God? Okay, I mean, you know, people are just panicking for nothing. So the key issue here is that the problem I have is this. You know, my definition of my work is always psychic empowerment. And here's a definition, a little quick statement about empowerment. And I like some of the people that like to make money by scaring people, you know, into very unethical ways to scare, cause massive panic.
Right.
Just so they can sell seminar tickets or books. Here's my definition of empowerment. We must all be big enough to admit our mistakes, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them.
That's right.
So people out there who like to scare people,
good points.
Try to be a little bit more empowered.
Good points. Yes. Let's take a few calls here with you, Bruce, before we move on with Linus McCants. Let's go to the state of Washington. Patrick, west of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi there.
Hi, Patrick. What's up?
Well, you know, last night we had Michael Heiser on.
Yep.
And the question I got is, if, you know, he is a Christian, so if we are dealing with an archangel, Lucifer, who is like, you know, Jesus himself, we have the three temptations of Jesus when he was confronted with actual face-to-face with Lucifer, you know, and he like was peeing his pants. He wouldn't say nothing except what God had you know, that had said.
Well, now give me your take, Patrick, on the Mayan calendar with all of that.
Well, the Mayan calendar has to deal with, you know, is this just a, you know, like a cut off, like from going from, you know, March to December? Or are we in a whole new...
Well, I think we could be like in a window, Bruce. What do you think?
Look, the Mayan calendar is simply a phase. The Mayans were, you know, the Mayans gave us the zero. They were very smart people. They lived in the jungle and made it into a massive civilization and disappeared like the Sumerians did. Nobody knows what happened to them in 900 AD. They just poof, you know, which is unfortunate because they were a brilliant civilization. But again, remember, as mathematically oriented as they were and as brilliant as they were, what they're doing is a calendar. You go from phase one, you go from winter to spring to summer to fall, seasonal. You have repetitions. That's what this is all about. So going from phase one to phase two, we're now going into phase two. There's no end of the world mentality. I've done future life progressions to the year 5000 AD with my work with time travelers. And guess what? This is beyond even Pakal, okay? So there's going to be a planet here. There's going to be life on this planet, and we're going to be around here for a long time. So all these things about trying to scare people, how many times throughout history, how many hundreds of times have people predicted the end of the world, and they're always wrong?
True. And what about bumps in the road, though, Bruce? Possible?
Well, we always have. I mean, my work going for the next 100 years, going through the rest of the century, is that we're going to have the usual idiots doing the usual things. There's going to be no nuclear wars. There's going to be no major catastrophes, no major plagues. And by the end of the century, boy, I tell you, by the end of the century, getting ready for Dexter Monterey time.
That's me, the talk show host of the future.
It's going to be a very positive end of the century. And going into the 22nd century, you will be personal witness to that in a future life. So you just have to ride the waves. People just have to learn to trust into the universe. You know, our species shouldn't even be here. If you look at the history of our species through evolution and going through ice ages and going through saber-toothed tigers killing us, you know, we're still here. And we've done actually quite well. So you got to keep a positive attitude. And to me, accessing, you know, my philosophy is always access your higher self, perfect part of your soul's energy, and you'll always win because, you know, just don't let other people bring you down.
Bruce's website, drbrucegoldberg.com. Bruce, thank you. Happy holidays to you. And, of course, the numbers lady, Glynis McCants. What would 2012 be without the numbers lady? Hey, Glynis.
Hello, George.
How are you?
Really good. Lots of people talking about that Mayan calendar. Of course, you've been covering that for quite some time, so here you are.
This is it. This is the stage for me, and I'm not closing the door on it. I'm saying that the window of opportunity for us as a humanity and the window of a possible still calamity from the sun, I think they're still both open.
Well, I have to agree with you to say that it is a window of opportunity, and I do want to break it down just for the people who don't know what this is.
Sure.
Just say quickly that numerology itself is the science of numbers. It's 2,500 years old, and Pythagoras is the number system that I use because there is more than one system out there. But what I do is I look at the date, 12/21/2012, and there are three numbers I get from it. I take the first, the month and the day, and reduce it to one digit. So 1 plus 2 plus 2 plus 1 is 6. And then the actual day, 2 plus 1 is 3. Then you take the full date, it becomes the master number 11. Now, when I look at these numbers, I know that 3 represents communication. It's about expression. It's about all of us talking, which is why this show is so perfect tonight for what you're doing. The attitude of the day is 6, which represents it's magnetic, and we are all drawn to it. That master number 11 is where what you say, window of opportunity. Whenever the master number is involved, you really should sit down and say, I'm going to focus on my life. What do I want to keep? What should I let go of? That is what today's about. If you're in a relationship that's not working, it's okay to say, I'm done. Or if you've got friendships where I call them frenemies, you know, people act like they're your friend, but they're really your enemy. It's time to let them go. So that's what I see this date as, permission to do it right for yourself, to be a better person, and to surround yourself with better people.
Can people move out of this feeling of doom and gloom, or are we trapped in this for a while?
Well, I have to say that the year 2012 itself has played a huge role in that. When you break it down, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 2 is 5. And as you and I have talked about, not only was there speed to this year that was staggering, very hard to keep up with it, but also the dark side of 5 is promoting drama. And we've had such drama. When you and I spoke last on 12-12-12, I told you that that energy of 5 mm-hmm. was going to fight for more trouble before the year's end because this is the final month. And then a couple days later, we dealt with the tragedy, that horrible shooting that took place. So I have to say, George, I want everyone to be aware that 12-23-2012 has the same energy as what took place 12-14-2012. Now, I'm not saying, oh, gee, that means there'll be another shooting. I'm not saying that at all.
I understand.
But I'll tell you what I am telling you, that actual day, it has the number 8, 5, and 4. And because those numbers challenge each other, it can promote conflict. Mm. And so here's my message. If you are traveling on 12-23-2012, you should drive defensively. You know, keep your eyes wide open because people will be a little bit scattered. If you have to do last-minute shopping, you be the shopper that has the big smile on your face. In other words, do whatever you can to stay out of conflict.
Good point. Let's take a few calls here, Glynis.
Sure.
We'll go to David in Moore, Oklahoma. Hey, Dave, go ahead.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, David. Thank you.
Hey, I had one point to try to bring up on everybody tonight.
Sure.
And I love your show. If the Mayans were so big on this date, they're extinct. So how are they taking our date of 12-21-2012 and saying that we're going to be extinct? They're extinct already, basically, aren't they?
They are gone. Actually, there are a few million left scattered throughout Central America and South America and moving into Mexico. But by and large, the civilization is gone.
There's, true. And that's why my mother would always tell me, she goes, David, if, you know, this state is so big, how is a civilization that's basically extinct going to say that the rest of the world is going to be extinct?
Well, that's part of the interpretation. Most people say they really didn't say that. They're more of an enlightened group. What do you think, Glynis?
Well, I think I saw something brilliant this year, and it was when Dick Clark passed away. Did you see that? Someone put it together, and it said, you know, we're to believe that there will not be a New Year's Eve, and then Dick Clark passed away. So it said, well played, Mayans, well played.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminds me of. It's like, we will be presented with stuff like this, Dave, and we'll look at those numbers. And it is the power of what people believe. You know, when things like this become a frenzy, it is because there is research that supports that would be the end of the world. And then it becomes a job to say, like, I can do it through numerology. The man right before me can do it his way. We all have a way to interpret it. But I think what most people agreed with, George, is none of us thought the world was going to end today.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
You knew that.
But you do see it as a shift. I have to say, it is a spiritual shift that is happening, and that must take place. Even as we head into this new year, 2013, when you break that down, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 3 is 6. 6 represents family, and it's about coming together with the people that matter most in your life. And also, George, it's calmer. Like, it's not going to be what we've been through. This has been a very tough year in many ways. And we're not going to feel that. It's going to feel a little different. Now, I'm not going to say, be clear on this. There's a little bit of a sabotage streak in 6. Like, when things are going well, someone else might want to mess it up a little. But in the overall picture, it's much better for all of us.
And we truly are now moving ahead into a different age.
Absolutely true. And we actually shifted into it when the millennium began. You know, that 2000, some people call it feminine energy, but I see it more as intuition and being more in tune to your feelings. You know, when we desensitize ourselves, that's where the trouble comes in, right? So now we're becoming more sensitive. And as we continue to grow as people, it gets much better for all of us. I see it as a good thing.
Let's go to Carol in Baltimore, Maryland. Get you in here, Carol. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Carol.
Well, I just called to say happy holidays.
Thank you.
And I'm kind of glad that nothing happened because now I get to see my birthday, which is today.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Telling me, you probably won't make it to 53. Well, I mean,
Well, how about on that note? Tell me your full birthday real quick. You say it's 1221. What year?
12. It's 1222.
Oh. 59. Oh, so it's 1222. You made it to the next day. And then what year?
59. Exactly.
Okay. So let me just say quickly what that means. Like 1222, 1959. First of all, you're born the master number 22, which means your mind is relentless, Carol. Do you find, I have to ask, do you have trouble sleeping? Do you find yourself awake at night or not?
Well, I'm usually awake at night because I work at night.
Yeah, but isn't that a preference? Like, don't you come to life?
Yeah, I'm wide awake, and it's just like I just bounce off the walls at night usually.
Right. So I say that because you also have a 7 attitude, and that 7, you know, it's like when it's quiet and peaceful, which we often can get at night, we can think more clearly, and you embrace that. But you also have double 4, so that tells me you're incredibly honest, Carol. And if anything, sometimes you're so direct, it gets you in trouble.
Unfortunately, yes.
But a happy birthday because you made it.
Yeah, I was kind of glad to see, you know, because everybody kept saying to me, oh, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. The Mayans are going to be right. I'm like, well.
you did make it, Carol.
They're wrong.
You have a great birthday. Some people are upset, Glynis, because some calamity didn't occur.
Well, and yet if we look at the news, especially on the internet, you can always find some calamity, right? I mean, we know there was that horrible storm with the 25-car pileup.
Oh, yeah.
That horrible thing happened. And I guess there was another shooting somewhere.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. So what I'm saying is there's always somebody wreaking havoc, but I'm just glad that in the overall picture, this was a good day.
Let's look ahead very quickly to 2013.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I see it as a strong thing. Like I said, this is about getting back to the basics. Like, even with the disaster that happened on the 14th, didn't it make the parents go, you know, hug their kids a little tighter and realize what a blessing? You know, we take advantage
every
of the
moment.
People in our lives. We think they'll be there forever. And it's a reminder that today's all we've got. Tomorrow may never come. So I see us coming into this cycle of 6. I also want to say, anyone who's worked really hard this past year where nothing came together, like it just didn't happen, they get their payoff in the cycle of 6.
I'm going back to St. Louis in the morning, Glynis, and I can't wait to see the little grandchildren.
Exactly.
And my 3 kids. I mean, I just want to be able to do that for a week or 2.
That's exactly right. And that's what it's about. It's like reminding us of those things we take for granted.
NumbersLady.com, that's her website. You and Charlie all set for Christmas?
We are. I've got to send you pictures, but of course he did it. He made the magic in that living room. It is the most beautiful tree you have ever seen.
I love it. Glynis, you take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Glynis McCants, the Numbers Lady, and there she is telling it the way she sees it. Up next on Coast to Coast AM, as we continue with our Mayan calendar extravaganza, Whitley Strieber joins us along with Win Free. Both of them noted authors, so make sure you're part of that program. And we'll continue throughout the night with special guests as well on Coast to Coast and your calls. So we shall be right back in just a moment. Whitley Strieber, right around the corner on Coast to Coast AM.